Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm going to write that down. The being part of our life is what God's doing internally in us. The doing part of our life is the external part of our life. And it does... It dovetails right into my message. And I'll tell you, this is going to help you. Man, turn to somebody and say, this is going to help you. Tell them, this is going to help you. Look them in the eye and say, you're getting help today. Hey, one of my favorite intern alumnus of all time is here. Sandy, I should recognize this intern, shouldn't I, Sandy? If it's one of my favorite of all time, right? Miss Judy's here. Miss Judy, you want to stand? How about Miss Judy right there? Now, hold it. Don't sit down yet. Stand up, Miss Judy. Sandy, you stand and wave to Miss Judy and everybody else, okay? You guys wave to each other. Isn't she one of your favorites, Sandy? Oh, I love Miss Judy. Miss Judy used to just crush the gauntlets, didn't you, Miss Judy? Huh? You owned them. But, listen, let's go back to this because I think it's important and it dovetails into the message that what God's doing in us is going to be what's produced outside of us. And so if your life, you're like, oh, my life's a mess. It's interesting. I had a guy in the church and he's since left the church. He was a leader in the church and he left the church and this was years and years ago. But before he left, and I'll tell you, I was relatively new pastor. This guy was kind of a peer in age. And so he had been a Christian all his life, and I hadn't been. And so he was very helpful. But he said, Pastor, there's strife in every area of my life. Remember that, Sandy? He said, there's strife in every area of my life. And I thought, oh, we got to pray for you, you know. And where it's like, wait a second. We should have slammed on the brakes and said, okay, get out the cab. We're not going any farther. We're taking care of this. And it's important for you to understand, we can't, write this down, you can't live your life by default. You can't just say, well, it's just the cards I was dealt. That's a hand I'm going to play. We're not living our life by default. Get out of bed, get off the couch, and grab a hold of life. I love Sandy's, what do you call it when you put something on social media? You post. Sandy posted a isn't that what you say? Why are you looking funny? Isn't that what you say? You posted something? If you're on Instagram, you post. Okay, I know a lot of you guys don't get, a lot of you young people don't understand the social media like I do. Okay? But Sandy posted a deal of Teal, our one-year-old granddaughter, taking a bite out of her cake. And Sandy said, this is how you need to live your life. Right, Sandy? Where you just go for it. And I believe that's true. I believe that life's about it. You know what's interesting is, the Lord's just been dealing with me about, because we want to change the world. The vision statement of this church at the very beginning was to win the world to Jesus. And I'm consumed with that. I want to win the world to Jesus. And some of you guys go, well, you know, but what about me? It's like, okay, can I tell you the personal platform of the doctrine of my life is that when you're a Christian and you become a disciple and you're growing in God, you're off the agenda. And I know that might thin the herd a little bit, and we haven't taken the offering yet, so maybe I better be careful what I say. But listen, how many guys are Christians in here? Can I see your hands? How many guys could do better at the Christian thing? Can I see your hands? Well, that's too many. I was hoping that'd just be a few, and I'd say, well, we've got an altar time at the end of the service for you. But it was like most of the crowd. That's how it was when we started too, man. It was like, how many guys your first time here? And like everybody raised their hand. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a couple hundred people here and it's all their first time. And okay, God loves you. Okay, he gave his son Jesus to die on your behalf, to be a sacrifice. And I had to go from the very beginning every week. But understand that what was I saying, Matt? No, I said Matt. What? Yeah, I wasn't saying that. Was I saying that? You two guys pay attention so that you keep me on track? But I'm going to keep moving on. But what's that? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That, thank you so much. Now, hold it. Something just happened to the, probably to the entire ecosystem, you know, the butterfly effect. That Jeremy is remembering what I said and Scott isn't. There's just been like a shift in the heavenlies. Did you guys feel it? Ruh-roh. But, okay, so we're Christians now. That means we're little Christ. That means, now listen, because this is good news. We're living sacrifices now. Do you understand what that means? We're living sacrifices. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes this. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Now listen, sometimes in your Bible, it says Christ Jesus. Other times it says Jesus Christ. You've seen that, right? Do you know that that's not just serendipitous? It's not just, well, that's just how they wrote it. Every single time it says Christ Jesus, the action of that is God to man. When it says Jesus Christ, the action is man to God. Okay? So here, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Now, what's the direction? It's God to man, right? Christ Jesus, for good works. So God is creating us. He's doing a work on the inside of us, and it's for good works, so that the being part of us can the doing part of us can match up with the being part of us, which God prepared beforehand. Now listen, that we should walk in them. Circle the word should. This is why this life is a sacrifice. This is life, why this life is that so much discipline is required. See, the reason that there's a deficit in your life financially is because of discipline. I mean, the bottom line is you just can't spend more than you make. You've got to discipline yourself. And honestly, discipline, what's bad about this, and no one wants to hear this word, but what's required in discipline is no. We don't want to hear no. Matter of fact, our minds don't register. The no doesn't register like yes does. That's why we just throw caution to the wind people do stupid things and step off cliffs and derail their lives, make decisions that just everything comes crumbling down. And we live in a society, and it's not new because of millennials, or I think it's been forever. We live in a society in the world where people don't want to take responsibility for their actions. They want to blame someone else. I mean, my goodness, it's what Adam said. He said, look, Eve didn't talk Adam into eating the fruit. She just handed it to him. And I don't even know that she did that. He saw her do it, and so he did it. I mean, I believe even today it's why a lot of women lead their husbands to church. I think for a couple generations before this one, I hope that it's changing, the church became so feminine because, A, it's mostly verbal, and women are more verbal than men, but B, because I think women are going to lead men. And I think that's why the Bible is so strong on men taking the lead, on men being leaders, on men being the gatekeepers, on men covering their homes. Why? Because I think it's by nature in the fallen world, women do it. Women take responsibility. Men, see, and we've got to understand that we've got to take responsibility for our lives. I have to take responsibility for my finances, not my boss, not my job. Man, it's so clear. If you've been in church for more than a couple weeks, you know that God is your source. Your job's not your source. Your husband's not your source. Your wife, your paycheck's not your source. That God's your source. Do you understand? Your quality of life is not determined by how much money you make, or how much your job pays you. Man, Sandy and I have lived way beyond how much money we've made all of our marriage. Every bit of it. And you'll say, well, how's that happen? Because A, we have faith in God. B, we tithe. And C, we didn't look at our job being our source. Our income being our source. I don't want to be saddled to that. Man, I want all of God that I can get. I don't want all of the world that I can get. See, my flesh wants all the world it could get. Buying new stuff, going new places. I mean, it's all that. Man, all that stuff's great. But we have to go back. We go back to Matthew 6 where Jesus said, man, I know what you have need of. You're going to get everything the Gentiles are going to get. You just don't have to get it the way they get it. See, there's a new world order in our lives now, and it's called the kingdom. And the kingdom is simply this, the king's domain. It's God's way of doing things. And we are his workmanship. See, God's, why is it important for you to be a church? Why is it important for you to read your Bible? Why is it important for you to pray? I'll tell you why it's important. Because you're his workmanship, and you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. And that's how you fulfill, listen, the purpose of your lives. See, so much of the purpose of our lives is just in the visitation part of our life. When's the last person you visited? When's the last person you reached out to? See, that, let me just tell you, you're never going to fulfill your purpose. And I'm telling you, you might have the business cards that describe your purpose. You're not going to fulfill that purpose without visiting people. Visiting the sick, visiting the hospitalized, visiting the elderly, visiting widows, visiting orphans, visiting prisoners. You know, that every church in the country isn't visiting prisoners is that are incarcerated. It's just, let me tell you, it's who the gospel's written to. See, there's such an issue in the church today of with homosexuality and transgender and the whole thing. I believe the Bible's written to transgenders. I really do. I look at it, it was written, the Bible was written to me. When I first became a Christian and I started hearing the word preached and broken down and rightly divided, I thought, how in the heck, and I thought of it, but my thought, it was another word, how in the heck has no one told me this before? How have they not told me this? Are you kidding me? These signs will follow those who believe. And one of those signs, a signal that we're Christians that will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. How are we not just finding sick people every chance we get? Hello? Let's go to James 1. James 1. And I think this is the key. You want to know what the key, a word of God. You want a now word for you in your life. How many of you guys want a now word for you in your life? Can I see your hands? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. You want a now word from God in your life. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Thank you for coming. No, is it still on the screen, that scripture? Just read it to yourself. What's highlighted in my Bible is, well, and there, it's highlighted there, which is able to save your souls. See, Jesus, God saved your spirit when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Now your soul is what's under construction. Your soul is what needs to be saved. Your soul is your decision-making abilities, your emotions. See, that's what, like your thought life, that's what your soul is. And let me just tell you, the implanted word of God was what saves your soul. We have to direct the strength of your mind to God's word, to God's promise. But you know what? What does he start with in verse 21? He said, lay aside. Just lay it aside. Because here's what's interesting. As you get in the word, your life isn't going to be stationary. You're not going to be passive anymore. See, what I think is hard is I think we look at our lives. It's just like, you know what, man, my life's good, Sam. I just have to make a few tweaks. I've just got to tweak some things to make it better. See, the word isn't about tweaking our lives. Do you understand? The word is a sword. Do you understand? Our God is not like a, our God is a consuming fire. See, when the word comes in our life, it doesn't come where it's like, oh, okay. Oh, it's like, oh, shoot, I got to go sit down. Here, I got to think about this for a minute. This is mind-blowing for me. And it still is, and I've been a Christian since 1979. Since 1979, you guys think about this. Man, in just a few months, it'll be 39 years that I've been studying it, and it still just blows my mind. He says, look, lay aside all the sin and all the filth and all the dirt and all the stuff that the world gets on you. But listen, and receive with meekness, but lay aside. Why is laying it aside important? Because we're running. So if I'm running and I'm able to lay aside a weight, or lay aside a sin, or lay aside. See, that's the other reference in the word, where you lay aside all the sin and all the weight and sin that so easily besets you, that you lay it aside. Why? Because we're mobile, because we're moving, because we're growing, because we're changing. See, God's not looking for changes. He's looking for big changes in our life, not the little tweaks. Oh, I need to get up a little earlier. Oh, I'm going to read an extra verse a day. God's not looking for that. God is a consuming fire in our lives. In verse 22, and then he says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then what does he say? Deceiving yourselves. See, it's so interesting. I look at it, I'm thinking, I deal with a lot of deception in people's lives. Do you understand by nature of what I do, of who I am? Sandy deals with a lot of people's deception, all right? And it's like I'm into blaming the devil for it. I mean, anything goes bad, I blame him. Okay? And I know how to cut his knees out from under him. I know how to put him on his back, and I know how to put my heel to his forehead. So that's what's gonna happen, okay? And I think he deserves that, all right? But there's times where he's not deceiving us, we deceive ourselves. See, James, here's what's interesting: half brother Jesus did not follow Jesus when he was alive, only believed in him after the resurrection, along with Jude, or Judas, his brother Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the brother. Neither Jude nor James were apostles of the Lamb. Okay, yet, here's what's interesting. I believe, and what the Bible says is God's word is the inspired word of God that he inspired men to write it. The four gospels, that's the four gospels. Why are there not seven gospels? Because four of them were God and the Holy Spirit inspired. Okay? It wasn't just manuscripts and history. This isn't just history. Okay? This is alive and it's powerful. Okay? But James was the first thing ever written that we now call the New Testament. James was the first book, was the first letter. James, what we're reading right here. And what he says in the first chapter, he says, lay aside all the filthiness. Lay aside all the stuff and they receive with meekness. But don't be hearers only, but be doers. Don't just, man, he goes on in this book. He says, you show me your faith by what you say, what you believe. I'll show you my faith by what I do. See, the world has to see, and you should write this down. The world has to see us living this out. See, I believe the gospel is believed when people see it lived out. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Remember, I talked about this a couple Sundays ago, that the average person didn't have a mirror. They would just get a glimpse at a mirror once in a while, because you had to be very, very wealthy at that time in the first century to own a mirror. Okay? They were very rare, and they were very expensive. So average people, like I would have seen my face, my image in a mirror maybe two or three times in my whole life. And it would just be a glimpse. It'd just be a glance. It wouldn't be something where I'd sit. There wasn't any lights on it. It didn't magnify. I couldn't see every pore and every hair follicle and every blemish. No, you'd walk by and you'd get a glimpse of who you were. But it was just a glimpse. And then you'd end up forgetting what you look like. Where you could use a pond, you could use a puddle, you could see, you get a glimpse of it. But that's different than a mirror. Right? For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what manner or what kind of man that he was. See, I think that we look at it, that we've got to lay aside this stuff that's weighing us down, where we can't run, we don't have the endurance to run the race that God's called us to run, and we can't run as briskly and as nimbly as we could, because we're weighted down by the cares of this world, the filthiness of riches. You know, the sins of the hand, the eye, and the heart. See, those things. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and this is the key. See, that mirror isn't showing you who you are. The Bible is showing you who you are. Okay, let me put it a different way. That mirror isn't showing you who you are. The Bible is showing you who you are. I'm not who you think I am. I'm who the Word says I am. I'm not who people talk about me. They're not what they're saying. That's not who I am. Who the Word says I am is who I am. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. And you're thinking, yeah, what have you ever won? Man, I'm a master builder. Well, what have you ever built? Let me just tell you, I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. And it's not a both and. It's an either or. I can either please God or I can please man. One of them is going to be disappointed in me. I would much rather disappoint you than disappoint God. And let me just tell you, I'm not a big how many likes did I get and how many followers do I have, and I need to buy some followers. It's got to be impressive. It's like, I don't care. I really don't. If this wasn't how you communicated today in the 21st century, I wouldn't be on social media. Would not be. But it's how you communicate now. And that's what I want to do. I want to communicate. So if it's the gospel, man, most of what I post is about the church. And people say, man, people don't want to hear it. Isn't that right, Casey? People don't want to hear about the church. They want to hear about your personal life. I don't want you to hear about my personal life. I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about what God's doing. But see, you know what I've got to do? I've got to look at it. I've got to think, you know what? Man, we've got to have the children of Issachar. You study so who they are, men of valor, who understood the times to direct Israel where to fight, direct them where to go, to direct the church. See, that's what we need. We need men and women that are children of Issachar, men of valor, women of valor, who understand the times. But see, what we've got to do, this is the first book that was ever written. We've got to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word of God. We've got to allow it, and listen, not just to hear it, it's got to get in our heart. It's got to get in our psyche. Man, I'm better than this. See, that's a whole idea of this. That's what this gospel does. Man, how many of you guys used to do drugs? How many of you guys used to drink too much? How many of you guys used to run around? How many of you guys used to fight? How many of you guys used to cheat? How many of you guys, yeah, you know what? We lay that aside. Why? So that we can run. Why? Because there's a perfect law of liberty that God's given us to live by. The perfect law of liberty. If anyone amongst you, listen to verse 26, and I'm gonna bring it out in the message here in a minute. But if any one of you thinks that you're religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Now, bridling your tongue, it's not just gossip. It's not just tale-bearing. Man, it's you know what? It's idle words. It's things that don't add up to anything. See, the bottom line is, and I'm going to give you some takeaways, okay, and then I'm going to be done. We've got to be doers of the word. Write that down, doers of the word. I'm a doer of the word. And not just somebody who comes to church and listens. Let me tell you, people around you might see you as faithful just because you show up all the time. But if you're showing up and then you're not doing, you're not living your life. See, I don't think it's God's will for you just to come to church, you and your family and the people you're responsible for directly in your life. I believe that we're also responsible for friends and family and people around us. It's that, see, church growth isn't, listen, it's not just about the numbers. I believe there's numbers because we're here to populate heaven. We're here to make it hard for people to go to hell. Do you guys agree with that? Yeah. No, for real, do you? Yeah. Well, see, that's what these services are about. These services are made to make sure that hell is heaven's jam-packed and hell is like, they're like babies in a bucket. And it's too easy. The world is pulling people away from church. Well, we don't need church. Here's been the age-old argument is, I just don't like organized religion. No, trust me, coming from somebody that I'm an abstract thinker, an abstract communicator, organization wins with me. Man, high schools and colleges and pro sports teams, the ones that win are the ones that are organized. The ones that have systems and patterns and strategies to win. Write that down. Systems and patterns and strategies to win. I mean, I'll tell you what, this church started. Man, I'd leave the house and Sandy'd say, okay, go do something great for God. We're trusting you. Man, I'd go out, it's like, okay, I got to go make something happen. Man, now it's not like that. Why? There's organization that's come in, and you know what? It's helping a lot more people. It's gone from helping onesies and twosies and maybe tens and dozens to hundreds and thousands. Man, the things I heard, I was at a pastor's deal this week, and the things I heard about this church, I was listening, I was thinking, yeah, that what you're saying, something like that happened, but what you're saying is really a lot cooler than what really happened. Because the feats and the exploits of this church have become legendary to people across the country. And things that have happened at the nightmare, at the motorcycle rally, at church services. Man, I heard a guy describing our healed service to me. I was like, shoot, I'm glad I was there. But you have to understand that, man, the world needs to see a church that's actually doing the visiting and bringing people in and compelling people in. But I'll tell you what, the church world needs to see it as well. They need examples of that. People that are devoted. And that's what it requires. It requires some devotion. We got to be doers of the word, not hearers only. It becomes the unity of hearing and living. What I hear is what I'm going to live. You know, if you think about it, however long you've been at this church, Chris, how long have you been at this church, son? 19 years. How much have you heard, Josh, how much have you heard that you can't, that you shouldn't go and live? Might be something, but it's very little. Most of what you hear here, and when I say most, it's like 99.something% of the stuff, you should go live it. Does that make sense? See, so there has to be a unity in your life. And write this down and consider praying about this. But there has to be a unity in your life between what you're hearing and what you're living. You don't want to be like that junior high kid that most teenagers live two lives. The life when mama's around and the life when she's not. Because see, in the divide between hearing and doing, if there's a divide there, if there's a gap there, that's where deception is. Deception lives between what we're hearing here in God's word and what we're living, right? Deception lives there. You deceive yourselves. That's how James put it. And knowing is never the same as doing. Our fulfillment is not in knowing it. It's doing it. You know, what the world is saying, I don't necessarily agree with this, wholesale agree with this, but I believe that there is some factual evidence, but those who can't teach. You know, it's interesting. There's guys that are teaching business, and some of them have business, thriving businesses, but most of them don't. So we look at this, and we have to understand now that we can't have that divide between what we know and what we do. See, in knowing it, there's no fulfillment in knowing it. And honestly, I believe that's why there's not wholesale fulfillment in the church. That's why there's so many people that are sitting in church today that don't understand the purpose of their life. It's simply doing it. Let me just tell you, you start visiting people, you start bringing people to church, you start actively growing what God's doing in your life like that, I promise you there'll be fulfillment. And you know what? You're going to enter into purpose in your life. Man, you ask these interns, is there Jake, is there purpose in your life? Here, come here, son. Is there purpose in your life? I met Jake, Sandy and I met Jake a year and a half ago or something in Kentucky. But I met him and his grandmama. How tall is your grandmama? His grandmama came up and said, man, if there's, I wish that you could talk to my grandson. And he's standing right there, weren't you? I just preached. She said, I wish you could talk to my grandson because he's in trouble. I think he had just gotten a fight with one of his relatives and broke both his arms with a golf club. That's what they do in Kentucky. They fight with golf clubs. There's no golf courses, but everybody's got golf clubs, and they just fight. look at him now. He's still got it. You take him out of Kentucky, but you can't take Kentucky out of him. But she said, if you could just spend some time with him, man, I'd appreciate it so much. And I said, yeah. She goes, we don't know what to do with him. And it's interesting because it was in like July. And I said, well, he should come to Tulsa and be an intern. This was on Sunday. And what day did you roll in here? 2 days later, he drove in and he's like, what are you doing here? I'm going to be an intern. I promise you there was no purpose in his life when I met him. There was no vision in his life. There was no purpose. There was no fulfillment in his life. Is there vision in your life now?
Yes, sir.
Is there purpose in your life now?
Yes, sir.
Is there fulfillment in your life now?
Yes, sir.
Man, what? How does that happen? See, it happens because he didn't stay where he was. See, and it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't said, hey, I got an answer for you. There's a lot of people, that'll come up to me and they'll say, hey, can you help me? It's like, yeah. What do you need? Well, I got to talk to somebody. I said, listen, you should be there when I'm talking on Sunday because that's where I can really help you. See, I've got this ideology that if we can get people in the room, we can help them. If we can get them to come back, we can change lives. If we can get them to plug in, we can change the world. See, I think that's the progression of this. But you look at guys like him. I don't know anybody here that was behind the eight ball more than he was when I met him a year and a half ago. And you know what? He finished his internship, and you know what he said? I need another year. So he's a GA now. And you know, honestly, there's GAs that they just need another year, and there's GAs that are other purposes, but I'm just telling you, if everyone in here took on the ideology and you thought, you know what, I need another year and I'm going to be developed, because in that year you make that decision, in that year is vision, in that year is fulfillment, in that year is purpose. Does that make sense? Thanks, Jake. But yeah, good boy. A couple more takeaways. Knowledge without action invites deception. I'm not learning. I'm not growing. I'm not being fed. Let me tell you, when people are coming to Jesus in services and lives are being changed, if someone says, I'm not being fed, you know what they're actually saying? I don't want to take responsibility. Okay, I just want to help you with the translation of the English language. Okay? It's because you're not out. You're missing out. See, just think, what if you've been missing out? What if you've been missing out? I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on anything. You know, it's funny, when I was a kid, my mom would say, oh, Bill's so social. He wants to be with people all the time. He never wants to be alone. And my grandmother, my granny Lila, who just went to be with the Lord a month or two ago, she said, no, he's not social. He just doesn't want to miss out. And I thought about that. I thought, you know what? That's a quality. So many of you guys. Man, I guarantee, John, you don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. There's a game on. I'll ride my bike across town to get there. I don't want to miss out. and here's the last thing I'm going to say. If you look into the perfect law of liberty, now listen, and here's the key, and continue in it. Not as a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. You ready? You'll be blessed in whatever you do. Is that amazing? Take a picture of that. If you look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, and don't forget, you'll be blessed in whatever you do. You'll be blessed in whatever you do. Yeah, but I only make $12 an hour. You'll be blessed in whatever you do. Yeah, but, you know, I don't have the education. You'll be blessed in whatever you do. Well, but I never have the opportunity, but you'll be blessed in whatever you do. Everybody say, I'm blessed in whatever I do. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Why did I have you repeat it so many times? Because the devil's going to give you fiery darts, and there are going to be thoughts in your life. There are going to be doubts that you're going to get that your life's not blessed. Man, some of you just need to fix the hinge in your house. Some of you guys need to just vacuum and wipe the dash of your truck. Man, give yourself something better, something different to look at. Because I'll tell you what the truth is. The implanted word tonight, that you receive the implanted word, that you're blessed in whatever you do. Visiting, giving your life to people is the big target of our lives, the target of ministry. God, we love you and we praise you. And we thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your word. God, we're blessed in whatever we do.